And we're back here with Bob, back with Bob Janeski this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town.
Okay, and we have a good warm morning this morning too.
We do, capping off a very warm week. That's not been fun to be wearing a suit in all week, but
no, it hasn't.
But we're blessed, and the merchants are doing well, and the lakeshore is full of out-of-town people dropping their money and generating that state sales tax revenue that we appreciate so much.
Yes, indeed. All the beaches are full, I think, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
If you're not working, go to the beach. It's beautiful. The water's still warm, and the storm hasn't washed the warm water out yet.
We have a red flag today, though.
I know. I heard you warn me twice not to go in the water today or to be careful to stay near the shore. So I'm going to bring a life jacket if I go.
Well,
you can
wade in with your feet.
Definitely.
A little bit.
Excellent.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Lansing, if anything.
Duke, all the talk right now is about Detroit. Obviously, late yesterday we learned that the city of Detroit has been recommended to go through Chapter 9 bankruptcy. I don't think it was a big surprise to everyone. It didn't surprise me. I don't think it's a surprise too many people. I think the disappointment is that so many people, including Mayor Bing, who I've met several times and really think a lot of, I think he's a good man who tried very, very hard. I think the emergency financial manager, Kevin Orr, tried very hard. A lot of people tried to keep us from this point. But I also think by the time they got there, it was probably too late. You're talking, when you talk about Detroit, understand we're talking about $18 billion, with a B, $18 billion in debt and unfunded liabilities for a city of only 700,000 or so at this point. Currently, of every city dollar, 38 cents of that goes to paying off debt. And in just 4 years, in 2017, that'll be up to 65 cents of every dollar will be going down to paying down debt or unfunded liabilities. Duke, if you or I ran our houses like that, we wouldn't be eating right now because we'd only be paying for mortgages, for boats, for cottages and stuff like that. So it was sad news. It was concerning news. The largest municipality in the United States to go bankrupt. My hopes and thoughts and prayers and worries are with people like police officers and firefighters who went into the job for 20, 30, 40 years and now are living on a pension and they're at the mercy of a bankruptcy judge, which is, and not to try and make the situation political, but in the end it is because it affects us all. If you remember when Governor Snyder first came in, he asked us to please change the emergency financial manager law to an act, public act 4, so that it was strong and had some teeth in it so that we could deal with these municipalities before they got to this point, before they got to bankruptcy, so we could basically protect and shield the rest of the state from our credit rating and bond ratings being affected. And he got fought every step of the way, and we got fought every step of the way by special interests, mostly liberal special interests, because the EFM does have a lot of power to tear up contracts and stuff like that. But now here we are, and rather than being, and one last point, I don't want to belabor it, especially if listeners don't want to hear about it, but we wanted the emergency financial manager in place because he or she had to operate within the confines of state law.
Right.
And if you keep in mind, the state constitution protects people's pension benefits. There's nothing that an EFM can do to strip that away or take that away. But a bankruptcy judge now can. A bankruptcy judge can go in and say, I'm sorry, maybe you were getting a pension of 35 grand a year, but now that's only, you know, 3 grand a year. A bankruptcy judge has that kind of power, and that's really why we wanted all along the EFM to be successful and to do what he or she needed to do. And in the end, it appeared as if the $18 billion worth of debt was just too much to really bear.
Just ask Mayor Kilpatrick to bring it back?
You know, even he, and it's funny, we remember all these names of people who at one point or another, at one step along the way, did really well for themselves in Detroit. But this isn't something that just happened overnight. This was many, many years in the making. And it's interesting. I put something on my Facebook page about how I did feel bad about the people who are so ill affected by this and are going to pay, and a lot of innocent people, to which a couple of people responded on my Facebook page. Bob, if they kept electing the same city council people or the same, you know, legislators or representatives or mayors, they're not innocent. And I'm struggling with that. I feel bad for anybody who's who's going to see a pension cut in half or worse because of this. Yeah. On the same token, I'm reminded of how blessed we are on the west side of the state. You know, I go to township meetings and city council meetings all over the county, all over Allegheny County, and there are people that are watching and paying attention. And sometimes, you know, people get annoyed that somebody's FOIAing or wants information. But you know, we're blessed that we are held up to a pretty high standard over here.
Right. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob. Hello. Yes, you're on.
Okay. My feeling is that Detroit got themselves into this mess. They should get themselves out of it and not expect us to, you know, bail them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or help bail them out. Because, you know, if we can afford something, we don't go and buy it.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, and that's what it seems like Detroit did, was they spent money too that they didn't have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, thanks for bringing that up. You're not going to see an effort at the state level to bail them out. You know, they created their own challenges for many, many years. Keep in mind that when Governor Snyder first came in and we had a $1 billion budget deficit, one of the ways that he righted the budget was he cut revenue sharing in half. That means all your communities on the west side of the state had to make spending adjustments, and one half of revenue sharing was a $300 million line item. One half of that, $150 million, went to one city in the state. Guess what city that is?
Detroit.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Well, I think that it's tough, but I heard the other day a ray of hope when I heard that Myers was going to put in a store at 8 Mile and Woodward.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I'm glad you bring that up, too. There is always hope. I'll tell you, I was just at a Tigers game a couple of weeks back, and I'm not even an American League fan. I don't like the designated hitter, but that's not here nor there. I went to my first Tigers game a couple of weeks ago. And what a beautiful stadium, what a neat opportunity for people to go and take in a game there. And they are starting to, within that little corridor, build, you know, lofts and things where young people might want to live and work and stuff, and they can walk to the ballpark, the ice rink, and stuff like that.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning. Mr. Janeski, I understand that you want to do away with the income tax. And my question to you is what are we going to do to replace it? I hope property taxes aren't going to go up. I think they're high enough now. And I think you have to ask the question, what is a person worth? What's their wealth? Is it like a king in their property, or is it in their income? A good example was automobile registration. It used to be based on weight. Well, then the weight of cars went down, so then they raised the gasoline tax. Well, then cars get better mileage. And then they come up with this ad valorem tax. So the money's got to come somewhere, and I sure hope it doesn't come out of property taxes.
Hey, great point. I like how you take us through that, how the weight of cars reduced and then the amount of gas consumed. The free market always finds a way to avoid what it perceives to be an undue penalty, and income earners do the same. We've got a lot of people right now who, quote, live in Florida, but they seem to spend an awful lot of time in Michigan. Well, we'd like them to be Michigan residents. I will let you know that in looking at revenue replacement, absolutely no one has brought up the thought of increasing property taxes. And it's something that I certainly wouldn't go for in replacing revenues from an income tax.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're here with Bob Janetsky this morning, and if you have a question for Bob, give us a call, 395-1450. Our line's open. Now, once upon a time, many years ago, I was a host for Mayor Jerome Cavanaugh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In Saugatuck.
Oh, no way.
Mayor's Exchange Day. We exchanged with Detroit.
Well, did you give him some ideas back then as to how to keep things on his...
He was running for the Senate at that time.
Oh, okay. Well, I serve with his son now in the State House.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
His son. Well, somebody told me the other day that it all started with Jerome Cavanaugh, so I don't know.
It's well before my time. I don't know. And you know, we can throw around blame forever and ever. And we've already talked about the various names that people look back and point at. The point is... after Detroit goes through a managed bankruptcy and pays off whatever it can with whatever assets it can, we have a great opportunity to turn around and have it be a phenomenal city.
Right. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning, Bob. I would like to know what the legislature is doing on that unlimited medical that all of us pay, which is about $125 a year.
Yep.
Are you underway in discussing that? I know Florida's done away with it, and everybody seems to think that it's been a very big success for all those insured.
Yeah, Colorado did away with their unlimited benefits as well. Keep in mind, there is a bill that went through the House Insurance Committee. I forget the name of the bill off the top of my head, or the bill number, but it's been a lot of discussion about it. It has not received a floor vote yet, a vote on the floor of the House. That would guarantee, at least I believe for the next year or two, a reduction of roughly $125, I believe, per vehicle. And that's been probably out of committee and on the floor for about 4 or 5 months at this point. But it's at this point, it's in limbo. I would encourage you to make sure you've contacted your rep. If I'm your rep, consider me contacted. But contact your state rep and your state senator to let them know that you support that bill and want to see that move forward. I will tell you that there's a lot of people fighting against that. The Coalition to Protect No-Fault Insurance has been very loud and very visible in Lansing, trying to extol the merits of the current system and the unlimited benefits. In addition, I'm told that there's another rep from the Kentwood area that's going to be introducing an amendment to the current bill that would change the understand that the current bill brings the overall amount of benefits to $1 million, which would still be the highest in the nation. But there's a gentleman already trying to change that who would like to bring that up to $10 million, which is obviously going to have an effect on the proposed rate reductions.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you for the update. And as my representative, you know what I'm thinking.
I got it. Thanks very much. I appreciate
your
call.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, just call in, Bob. Over here, we have a balanced budget. Did Detroit have that?
Detroit has not had a balanced budget for some time.
Right.
Yeah.
The other comment, Snyder is going to get the blame for all this.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like, which is totally unfair when you look at, as far as I can remember, nobody else did anything to correct this problem. Because I remember paying Detroit when G. Men and Williams tried to bail them out. All our money went there. And it has done that for, over 50 years. But there's nothing been corrected until Snyder came along. And yet he's going to get the blame for this.
You know, that's a great point. It's interesting. Yeah. If you compare it to like a football team or an NFL team, you can have a terrible GM that doesn't do the drafts right or doesn't build on some kind of farm system or whatever or anything like that. But it's the last coach who gets fired who gets blamed for the problems of the team. And you're right. Unfortunately, Governor Snyder will probably take the bear of the blame here.
Yeah, and people got to realize if any workable, we're going to end up in for some of that over here, I'm sure.
Well, and that's a good point. I'm glad you bring that up. I'll tell you, the legislature is very committed to helping Detroit, but we're not going to do it at this point at the expense of everybody else. I think everybody else at this point feels like we've done what we can through revenue sharing and things like that, and it's time for everybody to come up together rather than some to come up at the expense of others.
I'm sure the state doesn't have the money.
The state's doing better overall, but we're not in a position to just bail out people who haven't been responsible.
When you talk about that kind of debt, you know, that's a huge amount.
$18 billion is a lot of money.
A lot of people are going to suffer because of this.
Yeah. Good call.
Okay,
thank you. And got a couple calls here now. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that I am in support of keeping the automotive no fault like we have.
Mm-hmm.
$125 per vehicle is a very cheap price to pay for unlimited coverage. I wouldn't care if it tripled. And I'll tell you why. I spoke to a gentleman who was injured, not his fault, 23 years ago, before he even got out of the hospital for his injuries. He had $4 million in hospital bills. Now, this was 23 years ago.
I'm back before healthcare costs took off.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that I could afford to insure myself for that part of money. This is the cheapest insurance that we could ever have. And he said that when he went, he was also rehabilitated. He was able to go back to work and retrained. And he kept track of the people that were in there for other injuries in Mary Freebed over the years, because he's a paraplegic. And he said, of all those people that had other injuries, they're all dead now. He said they did not get the same kind of care because they did not have the kind of money that was put out to rehabilitate him. He says, best program we ever had. So that's my input. I think it's well worth the money. I don't plan on getting in an accident, but I kind of like that insurance.
That's why they call it an accident. Nobody plans on it. And that's ideally why we have insurance also. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, okay.
Yeah, I agree. Snyder's going to get the blame because he's the one that has to tighten the belt on that.
It's like when you've been messing around for 20 minutes and Dad finally comes downstairs with the belt. It's you that's been messing around for 20 minutes, but you're mad that Dad's there with the belt finally.
Yeah, well, Detroit's been this way since 1967 after the riots. They've never come out of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. They never quite recovered when a lot of other parts of the country did.
But my big thing is, what are you guys going to do about this gas crap that's going on? I mean, Grand Rapids is $3.82 a gallon or $3.94.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of calls to the office and emails about this. And the easy answer is, we're at the mercy of the companies or whatever. But I do like Senator Jones's bill that would give a property tax credit to somebody building a refinery here. It would finally put an end to us being basically at the end of the pipeline. Whenever a refinery issue comes up, Michigan's always at the tail end of the pipeline, so we always seem to pay the price that they get it to us last.
Yeah, well, my thing is when you guys find these companies that have been gouging the heck out of us, why can't you tell them, you know what, you have to send every person with a licensed vehicle $1,000. Make them punish them for what they have done instead of saying, here's your fine, pay the state, and then you can do it again next year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good question. Let me run that past the Attorney General's office, because that's who basically goes up against takes the taxpayer's case against those gas stations and others who take advantage of the situation. Let me talk to them and bring the information back on the next show.
Hey, great. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
All right, we're at 395-1450 here, and I think we have another call coming in. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Just got notification from my insurance company. It's not $125 a month. It's or a per vehicle. It's $211 per vehicle.
$211
just one time for all your vehicles.
Is it? And that's MCCA or PIP?
That's right. That's right.
Well, I'll look forward to getting that bill.
I've got three cars, so I'm paying $611, and I could buy an awful lot of insurance myself for that, because I pay $8 or less than $100 a month for $1 million coverage.
Wow.
On my own. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are any of those, are those business vehicles, can I ask?
No, they are not.
Not that it's any of my business.
No, private owned.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. I know that business vehicles have to have a greater liability insurance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Well, we heard both sides of it there today, Bob.
Yeah. Eventually, we got to make an informed decision. That's going to be a tough one if it comes up for
tough.
A floor vote.
You bet. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hello.
Yes.
I would like to know, what is the problem with the health care exchanges in the state of Michigan? It would save us money. It would be good for the people. But why is the big debate over this?
Well, there really is no debate over the exchanges anymore. The Michigan's going to be under a federal health care exchange as set up by the federal government.
That's right, because the state of Michigan didn't do it.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yes, we're letting the federal government do it because you guys didn't do a thing about it, which is bad.
Well, they tried to bribe us with your children and grandchildren's money, and they couldn't even tell us what it might look like. If you look at how the feds are trying to interpret the regulations right now, they had to bump back the employer mandate by a year because they basically bit off more than they can chew. They have no clue how to administer a program that's way too big that they never should have gotten involved in.
Except the state of Michigan just didn't do anything either. They could have, set up their own and not have the federal government step into this, but we didn't.
Well, I have very, very little faith in the federal government's ability to do what's best.
Then why didn't you?
Why didn't
the state legislature do it? If you have little faith in the federal government doing it, it had to be done. It's the law. Why didn't you guys do it?
We looked at the options that were in front of us, and we heard from our constituents who were very much opposed to it. I don't know where you live, but in Allegan County, we heard from an awful lot of people who wanted no part of us taking that money to set up an exchange that was going to cost more than the money they were giving us.
I know, but it's going to happen. You know, it just was ridiculous of the state not to do something. I'll just hang up now, but I just think that it would have been much better for us if the state had done it.
And I'm interested in learning. I always like to learn your perception of how a state exchange would be different from a federal exchange.
Well, we could have run it. The federal government wouldn't have their nose in it.
If you look at the rules that are being set up right now nationwide, you're seeing very little difference between the state exchanges that will be set up and the guidelines that the feds will be setting up with, with very few exception. But if you learn more, I'm always interested to learn.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Isn't the Senate going to take this up again if they meet?
That's Medicaid expansion.
That's
I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of people are confusing the two, Medicaid expansion and the exchanges, which are two entirely different situations. The exchange is where somebody would go online to look at how to purchase insurance for himself, herself, or their families mm-hmm. under the individual mandate, and they would put in information and find out what kind of subsidy they qualify for under the exchange. And then the Medicaid expansion would be basically expanding the current Medicaid program to 450,000 new Michiganders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a two entirely different situations.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob. We got about a half a minute.
Yes. I would like to know what happened to individual responsibilities of the citizens of this nation, because everybody wants the damn government to give them everything and provide for them. And the government, if we look at it, has never provided anything correctly or done anything well. I'd like a response to that.
Thank you.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and term limits would change an awful lot.
Okay, yes. And Congress.
Exactly. Term limits in Congress would change a lot of that. They voted for too much stuff we can't afford so they could get elected, reelected, and stay there for 50 years.
Bob, we're out of time. I thank you so very much for being our guest here this morning on the Talk of the Town program.
Thanks, Duke. We're blessed in a beautiful morning in the Holland area.